Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio. It's Friday. Sitting in for Damian Anderson, your host is Roland Hill. I'm Roland Hill. And on the phone, we've got Dave Lockhart, who's driving in to get here to the show. He'll be in studio shortly. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I am. There I am. I'd like to say hello to all the Voice America fans out there, and happy Friday to them.
Happy Friday. Welcome back, Dave. You've been on vacation and with the family, hanging out
correct.
In the sun, getting sunburnt.
Yeah, got an opportunity to spend a much-needed, enjoy a much-needed vacation with the family.
Right,
and,
right.
And shout out to Stevie, my lovely wife, and our three beautiful children. And we had an opportunity to go to Cancun, Mexico.
Well, it sounds like everything went well because you shout out to the kids. They didn't mess up on the plane. They didn't make a lot of noise. They didn't leave any luggage sitting in the lobby.
No, I mean, they were cool other than, maybe sometimes they forget how hard their mother and I worked to give them an opportunity to go somewhere like Cancun.
Did they open the fridge in the hotel? Did they get into the candy and $5 M&Ms?
Oh, man, Cancun gets you. I mean, regardless, you think Mexico, you think cheap. Don't. It's a resort. It's an area that welcomes tourism, and they charge accordingly.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Now, did you go to one of those all-inclusive places?
Well, we own actually a timeshare in Scottsdale, and we were transferred within our own system.
Okay, all right.
And in doing so, we get to stay at the West End, La Madura is what it was. Very beautiful. So it's not actually a hotel, Roland. It is a timeshare equipped with the amenities of home.
Is there a grocery store close by?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there you go.
We definitely stocked up, and trust me, your brother did a great deal of cooking at the crib.
There you go. There you go. That's the way you got to do it when you have family. You know, you can't go out every night and eat.
No,
that'll eat you up.
You broke as a joke, as they say.
Exactly. Dave, we got a lot.
If I could talk about one other thing on the trip. I had an opportunity, and want to share this with our listeners out there. If you get an opportunity to go to Cancun, you need to take in a tour at Chichen Itza.
What is that?
That is the Mayan temples.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And which is odd because, I won't say odd. A fact I learned about Cancun is, Roland, is it's not that old. It actually was founded, if you will, in like 1970.
Really?
Yeah. So it's, I was born.
Dave, is this the place with the steps? You walk up those steps?
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Really?
Yes. The temples, the pyramids. And,
yeah.
The Mayan, yeah. Now, that area now obviously predates clearly 1970.
Yeah. Now, are the steps all worn out now? Tourists walking on them.
I tell you what, you wouldn't know because you're blocked off. You cannot climb these pyramids.
Oh, okay. They keep you off of them.
Absolutely. Now there is an area where you actually can enter some of the pyramids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the area that we went to though.
Quite an experience for the kids, huh? Were they,
it was,
you know?
Man, it really was. I my emphasis in college was history, Mexican American studies, actually.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so it was great for me to get an opportunity to see the ruins and many of the stories that our guy Felipe. Shout out to Felipe, who did a wonderful job.
Yeah, you guys go to Cancun, look up Felipe.
Yeah, look up Felipe because he is the man. And,
18 dudes, when you get off the plane, you say, Felipe, 18 dudes, you go, huh? ¿Qué?
Or just get off and say, ¿dónde está Felipe?
Yeah. Say, yo soy Felipe. How much money you got? I'll be Felipe.
Exactly. He did a wonderful job, though, Ro. It was great. Again, if you get a chance to go to Cancun, that is a must-do on the list.
I'm glad you got a chance to take your family down and enjoy some time with the family. You know, a lot of people, they don't have the opportunity, but, God bless you, and great that you got to spend that time with your family, interact with your family. Dave, there's a lot happening in sports.
Yep.
There ain't nothing happening in football except Joe Paterno taking peeks. But, you know, other than that, you know, we had the NBA draft, and we'll kind of put that on ice a bit because we can kind of get into that. Baseball, we got the All-Star game coming up, you know.
Yep. And we got the surprise, I guess, resignation of, who is it, Jim Riegelman with the Washington
the Nationals.
Yeah. Certainly we can talk about that. And obviously Wimbledon is in it's in full force right now.
Okay, now you're going too far. Next you want to talk about the Tour de France. No. backing up a bit, this general manager, he resigns.
It's actually the manager, not the general manager, the manager.
Yeah, the manager, okay. He resigns, and I don't blame him. You know, what is it?
Right. I mean, I'm hearing all these people are talking about, well, you have a contract, and, you know, for you to quit on your team. I'm like, folks, stop it.
Well, then they say, well, he doesn't have a job, and will he get a job, and he'll never, you know, who is it that just came back to manage at 80 years old, you know?
Well, Jack McKeon took over the Florida Marlins.
Yeah,
right?
You know, the guy leaves and the team's on a high note, he'll find a job somewhere, he'll land somewhere. There'll be a team that falls in the tank, and they'll realize this guy's sitting down in Florida. They'll call him, they'll give him a call.
Well, even if they don't do that, you know what, he does have a means by which he can carve out some semblance of a riding off into the sunset career in baseball, regardless of whether he's an analyst, guest host. I'm sure he can write. I mean, Jim Riegelman, one, I guess, transgression, even if you want to call it that, should not just, you know, toilet or tank his entire career.
Oh, no. The guy that age, he knows where he's going. He knows where he's been. So he knows that if he walks out of the front door, he knows there's another door to open, you know.
Well, right. Or he may be very well in a situation where he doesn't need that front door to be open because he did what he was supposed to do during his, I guess, younger years.
Right.
A person is 62 years old, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, what is it is that his salary was like 600 grand, which is peanuts.
Right.
For a manager. And I can understand him wanting some assurances as a commitment from the organization as he's making the commitment to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go to him, you say, hey, we're going to renew my contract. Oh, well, we're not sure yet. Well, what are you telling the guy?
Well, right, that's what you think. Well, perhaps I'm not really in your future plans.
Exactly.
But what he really wasn't asking for necessarily an extension, what I understand, the argument or the disagreement arises over whether or not they were going to pick the option up for 2012.
Right.
An option that was available.
And I would do the same thing. Are you going to pick it up? We don't know yet. We don't know. Okay, I can't stay, you know.
If you don't know, well, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And if you don't know, now you know.
Exactly. You would hit him with a biggie.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by him. And all these people talking about he quit and all this other stuff. I mean, hey, let's talk about the area of sports. Coaches do this all of the time when they go to bigger and better jobs.
Right.
Isn't that a form of quitting on the team?
Right.
You have to, you know,
it's business.
Team,
it's business. It's business. You go where you get paid. You go where you get paid. You know, you're not going to stick around and coach if you could coach the Heat and take them to the championships and they're going to pay you 300 grand a year, but the Cavs want you and they're going to pay you $3 million.
$3 million.
Okay. You know, hey.
I'm taking the $3 million.
Okay. I'll call it quits early on the season. You know what I'm saying?
I will too. Yeah, you got a chance to to increase the salary tenfold, but
right.
We need you now in the middle of the season.
Right.
I'll be sending in my letter of resignation, and if anybody says that they couldn't and wouldn't, they're lying.
Yeah, exactly. Unless the coffers are full and they're just kind of hobbying now, you know.
Sure.
And there are not many guys out there.
We all have obligations at this point that we have to take care of family and self.
Right,
at
right.
At the end of the day, everybody said, well, you quit on the team, you quit on the team. At the end of the day, do for self.
Okay. Hey, speaking of do for self, here's that subject again. What do you know about the NFL lockout? What's going on there? Any new news?
It seems, you know, people are we're being fed bits and pieces as to the progress being made.
Uh-huh.
But it appears that, you know, progress is being made toward a resolution. It appears that right now what's on the table is essentially a split down the middle of all revenues. And what happens with that occurring is that it would eliminate the owners even taking the first billion off of the top.
Now, Dave, I don't know. I kind of see it from a different perspective, and we've discussed it before. And I kind of look at it like maybe the players' union, they're kind of going after the wrong people, you know. I think they're going after the wrong group, you know. Just as the owners are businessmen, and I'm sure they have, they take advantage of their the tax advantages and things of that nature. Shouldn't the players' union get a lobbyist, go to Washington, and say, you know, look, if a player plays in a city or a state and he's got to pay the taxes there, if he donates to a charity and he's got 6 months to do it or however long, he gets a tax credit, you know, and I don't know much about federal tax law. There may be something there. But shouldn't they be working on maybe trying to get help these players keep a little more of their money? Because, you know, I hear a lot of players in the league, they're talking about it's when they get their check, it's like 50% is gone, you know. So where are their, you know, where are their tax advantages, you know?
Well, right. I mean, it's difficult.
Education, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. It's difficult to create tax shelters, if you will, when you're still a salary. At the end of the day, they're just salaried employees, okay? Salaried employees who don't have the means by which, as a business, to take advantage of certain tax breaks.
Right, right. Understandable.
But at the same time, it's very difficult for much of, you know, Joe Public or Joe Q Public of America to have some form of sympathy for these people in light of the salaries that they still
Well,
make.
You know, I'm not hating on their salaries, but I'm not hating on anything. All I'm at, you know, let's take a player. Let's say he gets $1 million a year. He negotiates his contract, and, you know, I'm sure the reason they went to making them employees, if you will, is because so many guys were getting hurt tax-wise, you know. They were getting these delinquent tax bills. Now, but if they can sign on as an independent contractor, get their whole check, and then kind of manage their own money, you know, I know everyone can't do it, and, you know, there are a lot of bad people out there, and I mean bad people, to manage money for some of these players that, you know, a guy gets out of the league and he's broke. But, you know, there's got to be a way, you know, someone that's kind of on the ball that has that option, you know, I would think they would take advantage of it, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, you got to be careful with the independent contractor status, because there, if you do that, that's given somewhat of a windfall, if you think about it, to the owners in light of the fact that you don't now have to provide health care benefits. You know.
Well, yeah, and there would be a lot of there would be a huge argument. There would be a huge argument because they wear a uniform. They're told what to do. They're told when to show up. So, in essence, yeah, they would be employees. Yeah.
The problem you have with this is that, look, the model is what it is right now, and it should still remain the same in terms of the context of employer-employee relationship.
Right, right.
The fact of the matter is they need either better education, which I don't really think that's the problem. The information is available to them. I don't think they really take advantage of the information that's provided to them. That's the biggest problem that they have.
The players. Some of the players.
Right. Because you know now at this juncture that when you sign for $1 million is really $600,000.
Right.
So that means you can't spend $1 million.
Exactly. So, and once you get done with your agent and grandma and mom and cousins and everyone, what do you really have left, you know?
Right. What do you really have left? And but see, that those types of materials, if you will, in terms of education.
Yeah, you know, but, you know.
That's already available to them.
Right, right. And none of them have really, I would assume, you know, never really had to manage money or knew anything about money. You know, it's just, I got a big check, I'm going to buy a chain. And you know what? I'm wrong there. Let me back up. I'm getting a big check, and I don't know how to manage it, you know. But your whole life, you know, when you were on that dirt field, you know, with no grass, and you're getting stickers in your hair and getting tackled on broken glass. When I'm in the league, I'm going to buy me a nice car.
Right.
I'm going to buy me a nice house. I'm going to find me a nice babe, you know. And and you don't have enough. You don't have enough. What does a rookie get? You know, if you're on the practice squad, what's your salary, you know?
Well, yeah, right. You're getting, obviously, if you're capable or able to staying on a roster, even if it's just practice squad, it's $7,500, I believe it is, over 17 weeks per.
Wow.
So you get $7,500 per.
Dave,
you
let's know, take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little more about it. Coming up, NBA draft pick. Do you think his mom will still love him?
Baby, I stayed away too long.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian today, I'm Roland Hill and co-host Dave Lockhart. Yeah, Dave, he's here in the studio. He is now in the studio. It sounds a little better. You know, before we went to break, I know we were talking a little bit about the NFL players, but, you know, that could go on for hours and hours and hours because, you know, everyone's got a solution except the people that are actually receiving the checks or however the business goes. NBA pick. There's an NBA pick. Said his mom kicked him out when he was 13 years old. Had nowhere to go. A lady took him in, got him to school, got him on teams, fed him, and this lady took in a lot of other kids, too. And when you look at the picture of the kids, I don't know if you've seen it, Dave. You've got kids, you know, there, I think there was an Oriental kid and another African-American. Okay. Furniture's Oriental. Okay. And then it looks like there was a kid that had some illnesses.
Disabilities, perhaps?
Yeah, bald head. Cancer looking. Okay. But, you know, sorry. But
very PC around here, I see.
Yeah. But the but this kid, you know, he grows up. I believe he went to Marquette.
He did go to Marquette.
Got through school, got drafted. He's on the team now. I don't know what kind of contact he's had with his mom, if his mom has talked to him. But do you think mom will show up now? Do you think his mom will be calling him? Do you think he will take the call from his mom? What do you think, Dave?
Well, we as a people, we being black folks, are very forgiving. So will he take that call from mom? I can't say no, he won't do it, because you also had the same abandonment issues, if you may recall, with Gilbert Arenas.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same issue Shaquille O'Neal, abandonment with his father.
Right.
Okay.
Now, has Shaquille, has he made that deal right with his dad, or has his dad
No,
made
he
it
refers
right?
to his father as Sergeant Harrison, who helped raise him, I believe is the gentleman's
right,
name.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's his father.
Exactly.
And when you heard him retire, who did he give thanks to? He said, and made no mention of biological father.
Right.
So, going back to Mr.
The kid's name is
Jimmy Baldwin or Miller? I forget. I remember he played at Marquette. He got drafted number 30 by Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, his mother put him out when he was 13, I think is the story. And but will he? It all depends. It's all an individual, you know.
But it's a story, and how much of that's happening across the country, you know, where you know kids are being picked up by other families, you know,
sure.
and taken in and nurtured. How many of these guys don't really make it, you know, and how do they turn out? You know, are there guys going into the business world? Are they finishing college? You know, and then you know the story. You say Gilbert Arenas, and of course, you know Michael Orr.
Yeah, you know, right. Exactly. The Michael Orr
situation.
But a lot of those situations occur. Jeremy Maclin, Apparently, he had something along the lines of the Michael Oro situation for him as well. You know, you have a well-to-do, you know, Caucasian, if you will, couple to take him in and give him direction. You see that a lot. It was a running back for Louisville whose parents allowed him to live with his coach. Terrell Pryor has some type of had some type of arrangement when they're talking about legal guardian. But surprisingly, he had a father that actually was in the picture or is in the picture.
Right.
Terrell Pryor. So each case individual. I bet you now mama is like, wow, maybe I shouldn't have kicked him so hard to the curb.
But you know what? You know what? Who's to say if he'd have stayed there, he would have blossomed like he did. You know what I mean?
Sure. These nurturing environments, obviously, are beneficial to children and people in general.
Right.
I mean, you think about the environment you try to create for your sons.
Right.
You know, Ira, we see how well he's prospering, you know.
Oh, speaking of that, bro, man, happy Father's Day, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. Same to you as well.
I had the best Father's Day I've ever had.
Great.
Went to see the Arizona Young Sounds of Arizona with the Clark Kruger Extreme Decibel Big Band featuring Dennis Rollins.
Okay.
Now, we're talking big band, you know, Sinatra, Buble type of music.
I know, yeah.
Okay. We're leaving. We're headed out. And here's Dennis Rollins. I go up, introduce my son to him, and Dennis asks him, you know, what do you do? He goes, I sing. And he says, well, okay, buddy. He goes, you're going to – he asked him what he could sing. He told him what he could sing, the Motown. He says, you're going to sing it.
Wow, really?
Okay, this is the last set. He calls my son up. My son goes up. Ira goes up to do the closer. He sings the closer and brings the house down. Everybody on their feet.
So Ira blew it up.
Oh, man. Lightning. Fantastic. And all the heavyweights in the room. You had Margo Reed, what's the lady over at the jazz station, Blaze Lantana there, and some other vocalists from around town, you know, heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
And they truly enjoyed it. Truly enjoyed it. You know, so did I. I had one heck of a Father's Day. And again, thank you, Ira. Thank you. It's right up there with Elba's Father Day that she gave me back years ago. Yeah.
Well, good, man.
So back on track here. This kid that's in the league now, his mother abandoned him. Does she have the right to try to contact him? Does she have the right to try to come back into his life? And what would be her motives for trying to contact him?
And that's the issue. And because of those ulterior motives.
And not just in this case, in all other cases. You know?
Why would there be a need to contact the kid when now they're successful?
Exactly.
When you play no part in it, and in fact, you abandon
his success.
Child, success.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're searching for forgiveness, yeah. Well, what are you searching for, really?
So, is it kind of like... congratulations, son. Nice to see you do well. And don't ask for anything.
Right.
Or you're like Lamar Odom's dad.
Who's a mooch that he just pays to keep away. He pays so he can give him the Heisman.
Can you order some Chinese, some ribs, and send them over here to me?
Yeah, that's daddy.
We're hungry. Right. There's four or five of us, man.
I know. That's his daddy. I don't even know how to even – I'm blessed. And your kids are blessed, and you were blessed as well to not even have to deal with those situations.
Isn't that the truth?
But, yeah, let's go back, though, to the draft because, I mean, it's obviously on the forefront of everything at this point. We saw Cleveland. Cleveland actually had the number one pick, and they took Duke point guard Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Many, you know, have deemed him to have been the number one prospect, and he should have been the first pick. You know, I don't know. Have you had an opportunity to see Kyrie Irving play at all?
No.
Okay. Now, he only played 11 games, as you might know, and that was 8 regular season games, and he played 3 games in the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden he's gone pro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Game, many say, modeled after Chris Paul.
Okay.
Which I like. I like Chris Paul.
Okay. But keep talking.
But I'm looking at the draft, okay, and I'm not a basketball aficionado.
Right.
But I will say I have some knowledge about it. But I think, as everyone else has said, it was a very mediocre draft. It's not that much difference.
Kind of flat.
Yeah, it's flat. Beyond the top 2 picks, including Derek Williams, shout out University of Arizona Wildcat.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that...
Let's go. Kimber Walker to Charlotte.
He went to Charlotte.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't see him as a star. What Jordan likes about him is he's a winner, and he's a winner at a big-time program.
Now, do you see Jordan trying to build a team like him, like he would play in?
Well, Jordan, I think his point of reference is always going to have to be what I did. okay? But I don't think Kemba Walker is the tool or the piece.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you look at him, his game doesn't mirror B.J. Armstrong.
Okay.
Two, he doesn't look like, in my mind, a player, at least right now, that can come in and start.
Right.
Okay. He can give you minutes. He might be what similar to, you know, the microwave, I call him. Vinny.
Microwave.
You remember Vinny, what was the guy's name? Vinny Johnson that played with the Detroit Pistons during the Bad Boy era.
Uh-huh.
Come off the bench immediately, 50, called him the microwave because he was hot.
Just
as soon
hot.
As, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Instant offense. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Kemba may be able to do that, but he has to improve on his shot and his shot selection. He's a scorer, but he's not a great shooter.
So a year or two.
I think you're thinking more along the lines of 2 to 3 years, perhaps.
To get him ready.
To get him ready, where he
right. needs to be.
And
go ahead.
Jimmer Fredette. Go ahead.
Okay. Jimmer to Sacramento.
Yeah, by way of the Bucks. The Bucks actually drafted him and traded him.
And trade.
He's going to suffer against all the white boy stereotypes that come along with being white.
Now, he's got a chance of starting this year.
Yeah, he does at the point. Matter of fact,
people.
They traded some people. So,
yeah.
And Tyreke Evans, who can play point guard, also was named Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, is versatile enough to slide down to the two, obviously, and I think that's where he probably should play.
Okay.
So, but they have a lot of players that are the same. They brought back Sammons. That doesn't make any sense. Remembering the trade from the Bucks, they brought him back, okay, at a higher number of like $8 million a year for the next 3 years, too. So it's $24
million. Man, these guys going to still keep making that kind of money?
They stealing money. Because James Salmon is not worth $24 million.
Okay.
But you got all these kind of wing players, 6'7" kind of guys all on the same team, and no big man.
Right.
That's a problem.
Okay. Now you got Leonard to the Pacers, who slid to 15, kind of like Danny Granger.
Okay.
Do you think that's the best deal in the draft?
Is that Kali Leonard, the kid out of San Diego State?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He went to – did they trade him? I know Indianapolis took him, but I wanted to say – I thought the Spurs traded him.
Did they?
It could have been, but do I think he's a good pick or in terms of potentially being a Granger type of success story?
Yeah.
He's got to improve on his offense. See, Granger always could score, even when he was at New Mexico. Now, do we think he was going to blossom into all-star status? I would have to say no.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But all of these guys here, I don't know if they're going to be all-star great players.
But nobody knows. I mean,
right.
if you had a crystal ball, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's all I have on basketball.
but we also briefly can talk about, you know, the labor strife that they're dealing with, too, because, essentially their CBA expires in 6 days.
Oh, really?
And from what I hear,
are they even close to a...
No, there is a mountainous a cavern.
Are they far apart?
Very far apart. Right. At this juncture, I didn't know this, but the NBA, but as well as hockey, has a system in their CBA that permits the teams to hold back a certain percentage of the salaries of the players.
Okay. But they're not
to
taxed
find
on
out.
It.
No, this is why they do it, though. To find out... Because they have a certain number, if you will, of 57% of whatever that they have to hit. I don't know what that is, of gross revenues or whatever.
Right.
And if they have to hit that number, and if they don't, that's why they back out some of the stuff from the salaries.
Okay.
But this year they did make the number.
Yeah.
Yet the owners are saying, well, even though we hit the number,
why don't you
let us keep the money? Right. Because we are operating at a loss.
That's not right. Well, you know what? They are operating at a loss.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
an agreement says
yeah,
that you give
the money.
Yeah,
agreement's an agreement.
Back.
Yeah, you know, but if they go broke, don't nobody get paid. You
that's
know?
True, too.
You know, they're borrowing against a credit line, what, from the NBA?
From the actual NBA, right. Some teams are.
Yeah.
Some teams
so,
are.
So, I mean, if they're not making money, maybe they need to sit down with the players and say, hey, look, you know, I owe you X amount. You know, can we keep, you know, X amount? Or, you know, do you want all your money? You know, they should sit down and negotiate.
I would agree with that. But
not
when
just say we're going to keep it, you know.
Well, I think it's still negotiable because I think if you said I'm keeping the money and I don't care, no. No court would permit someone to do that. I just don't believe that would happen. You don't have a defense to that, okay?
Right.
But what they're saying is in the new CBA is like, hey, you want to be treated like a partner? Okay, partner, we're losing money. How about giving some of the money back? But that would have to be in a new agreement, though.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, if you want to be a partner and you want to have your hand in the till, okay, put your hand in this till, too. You know what I mean? Open your wallet.
Bad along with the good, right?
Exactly.
Bad along with the good.
We can only sell so much beer and peanuts, you know. We got to keep the seats full, you know.
Well, the problem they also have is that they were overpaying for people who are not worth the money they were paying.
Yeah, I don't know where they got these numbers. I mean, these numbers are crazy.
Did you know that Dunleavy, his son, came out of Duke, now plays at Indiana.
Uh-huh.
$15 million a year. That guy.
See, that's sick. That, you know,
that guy makes $15 million a year.
You know, that is, you know, hey, how much you got? You got what's your cap like? Do they have a cap? You know? You know, what
they have
you
a soft cap. That's what they want to argue for, too, is a hard cap. Right. Not all of this malleable, being able to move it all around, soft cap, flexible cap. They want to move again with the hard cap. And the
30 seconds.
The players are saying that they will entertain it, but in exchange for that, we want to get more money, though. With the split.
You know, they fall the biggest trees first. And these players, they need to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And they need to take what they need and not what they want and keep playing ball.
As they say, what? Pigs get fed,
hogs get slaughtered. Exactly. And with that, let's take it to a break. Coming up right after the break, we're going to have Jay Graves from the Jay Graves Report. And Joe Pett takes a look.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Tune in every Monday after the busy sports weekend to Catch the Vision Sports Radio with host Thomas Lewis. We'll look at sports from every level, from what happened years ago to what happened last week to what's coming next. Thomas Lewis will take you to places you've never been before on a sports talk show and will bring an experience you've been waiting for. Our topics will focus on realities facing a player, labor disputes, academics, recruiting, and transition. Tune in to Catch the Vision Sports Radio, Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson, sitting in for Damian. It's me, Roland Hill. On the phone, we've got Jay Graves from the JayGravesReport.com. Is that right, Jay?
Yes, that's it, brothers. How y'all doing?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Dave stepped out. He'll be right back in. What you got for us today, Jay?
Hey, man, let me tell you one thing that I wrote an article this morning about the NBA draft. I'm not sure if you guys have covered it.
Yeah, we touched on it a bit. Go ahead.
I got something a little different angle on it. I wrote an article called Man Up.
Okay.
And I was celebrating the fact that Kyrie Irving was the first pick in the draft. However, his dad raised him by himself.
Really?
And I was insulted because there were so many people yesterday running with this story that was surprised and shocked that his father raised him by himself. His mother died when he was 4 years old from an illness. And everyone was just surprised that this African-American man raised his child
But Jay, come on. You know that's a rarity. That's an oddity, you know. You know it's an oddity. You know,
what I'm saying is this. What else do you expect for a man that is married to his wife and she dies, and then the kid—he's got to raise the child.
Well, that's a loaded question. What do you expect? What do you expect? The guy, he could have went off. He could have married someone else, shoved his kid in the closet. He could have, you know, had other kids and ignored this kid. I mean, there's so many options, you know. I've got a really good friend, Ted Dance, you know. He raised, I want to say it was two boys, maybe three, raised them up as athletes by himself, a couple of them, maybe three, by himself, got him in college on scholarships, got him through college, and I believe two of them, if not all three of them, have their master's degrees. And he did it by himself. Not exactly. Just one, but three, you know. And these boys are, you know, they're in the business world, and we're talking corporate America, you know. And he did exactly. it by himself, and he's a brother, yeah, you know.
Exactly. And see, the thing I wanted, that I talked about in the blog was there is a secret society of guys like ourselves that have children, raise our children. You know, the Word of God says that a man that does not take care of his immediate family is worse than a non-believer.
Wow.
So there are a whole lot of guys like ourselves that are at our children's baseball games and basketball games and helping them with homework every night and raising them and going to church on Sunday. But people act like we are the Loch Ness Monster.
Whoa. Right. Whoa. Wait. I got to stop you right there, brother. Listen. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff that's in play there. You know, there are a lot of brothers that would love to be with their child, would love to raise their child, would love to talk to their child, help them with the homework, go to the game, teach them how to bat. But guess what? That mom ain't having it. That mom's not telling them when the game is. She's not letting them talk to them on the phone.
She's running interference.
Exactly. You call them. Oh, they're not here. Oh, he's doing homework. He can't talk now. But out of the same mouth talking about, where's the money? Where's child support?
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they're playing the game. You know, so I you know what? Raise them if you got them. I mean, fight for your child if you can get to them. But sometimes, you know, a brother just got to, you know when to throw in the towel. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? You know, my whole premise for the article was celebrating and thanking Kyrie Irving's dad for being our Bigfoot last night. You know, he was the person that everybody saw. Hey, this is a guy that's raising his child because we're all out here doing it, and we're all out
doing the same
thing this guy's doing.
Uh-huh.
So everybody acts like they can't see Bigfoot.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't from that angle. Maybe it was, you know, it's beneficial, and thank God they did it, because maybe now, you know, there's a young brother out there that says, you know what, I can do it. You know, I'm a single father, and mm-hmm. I've got my child here. I can do it. This brother did it. I can do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, we can raise him up as an example, you know, and look at him and say, you know what, I do have a child here, and I can do it also, you know. So let's look at it from a positive, you know.
Right. I applauded him last night because, you know, not only did he raise the first pick in the draft, the kid was smart enough. If he hadn't gone to the NBA, he was at Duke University on scholarship.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that says a lot for
and, you know,
what he was able to do with, you know, raising him on his own. Now, granted, they said that his aunts helped raise him as well. You know,
yeah, but it takes a village to raise a kid.
Exactly. Right. You're going to have
village,
other hands
yeah.
in there, you know.
No question.
But you know what? You know, speaking to a single parent, you know, a single parent tends to go the extra mile for their child because they don't want to leave any stone unturned. You know what I mean? They want to make mm-hmm. sure mm-hmm. they cover all the bases. You know, when you got two parents there, sometimes the parents kind of let down, well, the other one's going to get this. Well, dad's going to get right. this. You know, mom's got that, you know. And then the kid doesn't get it from either side. You know what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. you got an idea and you say, you know what, I'm going to put my kid in, let's say soccer, for instance, and mom says, you know what, soccer's not good for him, I don't want him to play soccer, or even football, you know, so the kid misses out on that. When you're a single parent, you got no one to answer to. You going to ballet. Okay. You know what I mean? You don't have mom sitting there going, ballet, my son's not going to ballet, or dad, you're not going to put, you know, you do what you want, you know. I know my kid was in, he was riding horses, he was rowing boats, running around the lake, he's doing everything, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I'm going to holler at your boy, Jay, because I mean, I agree with you. Because, you know what, even though we gave him the praise and all that, it is an oddity to see that father sitting at
right.
the table.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's unfortunate that it is an oddity.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that a person has so much of a hand, if you will, which you should as a parent anyway.
Exactly.
In the development of a young man that turns out to be a Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And granted, it should be kudos. But at the same time, like Chris Rock, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But
right. And that was my point initially
right.
when I said,
you know what, I'm going to say something. And this is, Jay, I'm going to say something, and this is totally wrong. I'm going to tell you right up front, and I hope I don't get in trouble for it. But not everybody is fortunate to become a widow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They have no, you know what I mean?
But that's not BC, buddy. Yeah, that is not BC.
I know it's not, but you know what? There are a lot of brothers out there thinking it. You know what I'm saying? They're thinking it, you know? But, you know, I just, if you don't have any interference, you know, oh, he can't go tonight. Or he's at his friend's house, or he's with his grandma, or, you know, it's too hard. It's too hot out there for him. You know, you got all of this interference, you know, and this young man's, his dad had no interference, you know.
And he had balls to go ahead and do what he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
And that was the whole premise of the article, that the guy did what he was supposed to do, and people shouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Because this is what I also made this comment. I said, we have to realize that we can't keep making the mistake of comparing a male to a man. There's a difference between a male and a man. Both male and men both are born with the male genitalia.
Right.
The difference.
The father or dad.
The male actually only possesses it. The man understands the responsibility of having it.
And lives it.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
But you know what?
I applaud him.
And a lot of that is by example. Like, you know, I speak so much more of my father. He passed in November of 2009. And you know what? When I reflect back, the more I think about it, that guy was a straight up man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was always there, not always to get along, easy to get along with, and told us, you know, I'm not here to be your friend.
Right.
And was able to say to me that, hey, you know, I don't care if you like me. Now, I want you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to engage in acts essentially to make you not want me to like me.
Right.
But at the same time, I have an obligation and a responsibility to raise you to be a responsible man.
Yeah, right. Contributor to society.
And when you think about it, now that I'm living in it, I have my own son and daughters. And, you know, Roland, I know you have your two sons. And Jay, I know you are with child as well.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've got a 14-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we all now understand how very difficult it is to be that parent. And as I tell judges sometimes, they don't come with instructions, and we're doing the best that we can.
Exactly. Isn't that the truth?
They don't, and
they're all different.
They're all different, yeah. And you're doing your best not to mess them up. But fundamentally, we all know the difference between right and wrong, and at a minimum, we at least can do that.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's ironic that you said, you know, that your father was a straight-up man, and he was, you know, he set the foundation. I remember my dad passed away my freshman year of college over Christmas break.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly the minute after he died, he died in the house, and my brother came downstairs and told me that my dad had passed away. The minute after he passed away, I said, who am I going to get the answers from now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just because this guy had all, I thought, in my opinion, at that time, he had all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a plethora of knowledge, and he showed me everything I need to know to be a man. And I said that as vividly as I'm talking to you right now. Who am I going to get the answers from right now?
And you know,
I depended on him, you know, to raise me as a man.
Right. And, you know, and I agree with that. And you know what I tell my son? You know, I want him to come to me for the answers. I want to know what's going on in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I also let him know that, hey, you know, Dave's got answers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Damien's got mm-hmm. answers, you know. Mm-hmm. Mr. Graves, mm-hmm. he's got answers, you know. I'm not the only mm-hmm. one with the answers. So he's not left high and dry.
Sure.
You know, if something were to happen to me, knock on wood, heaven forbid, you know, he knows where to go to get – he can pick up the phone and say, hey, Dave, you know,
this is what's
going on.
But you that also deals with the people you choose to associate with.
Exactly.
Graves,
exactly.
I'm sure you do it the same thing as
uh-huh.
well.
Exactly.
Fortunately for you, you know, you were able to know your father, and me too. But I would share with you all that even at, again, when my dad passed, I was 39. Okay. I talked to my mother and father, specifically my father, though, every Wednesday.
Did you really?
Even until he passed.
Right.
Yeah. And why? It was because of those nuggets that Jay really you're talking about.
Right.
Those nuggets of information that you always can use.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bit you keep, that's what it was a definition our teacher used to say, what is knowledge? It's the little bit you keep.
Right.
And you know, it's old country little saying, you know.
Yeah.
But I used to hang with Pops, man, over the phone. And, you know, we became more friends the older I got. recognizing the relationship that you have.
But
with
he was still teaching.
But he was still teaching.
Still teaching.
Right. And I was like a sponge. I wanted to be there to learn. Okay. And he was always there to say, you know, I don't have all the answers, but, you know, and I don't know every way.
But this is what I know.
But I know a way.
And this is what I've experienced through life. Now, you could take this and, like you say, keep what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that option. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's love. You know, it really was. And I've told this story several times to friends and just whoever will listen that. I remember Jay being in my dorm room. Mm-hmm. At U of A, 1,800 miles away from home at U of A. And I was sitting at my desk after practice one day, and a light just went off in my head saying, hey, I got it. And I called my dad, and I said, sir, I want to thank you. Thank you, Dad, for what you did. He was like, hey, man, you know, that's my job. That's what I do. He was like, that's what I was supposed to do, man. This dude, raising you and your brother, that's not easy. Mm-hmm. But my obligation is to make sure that you have the same morals and values that we have as a family.
Yeah, but Dave, you were an exceptional kid. I mean, you were, you know, probably brighter than the average kid. So, I mean, you would catch on faster, I'm sure. I mean, you were you first in your class? And
I was up there.
From kindergarten, first in the class. they tried to sit in from kindergarten to the sixth grade. You know? Yeah. So you know too much. Now, your mom was a teacher, right?
Yep. She skipped two grades herself. Yeah. You know, very bright.
Oh, yeah. My mother was a school teacher, too.
Yeah, and she was very bright. And definitely has an impact, still with us, thank God. And I speak to her continually every Wednesday.
There
spoke
you go.
To her, you know, yesterday. It was Thursday because I missed my Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I get nuggets there, but it's nothing like, gentlemen, having a father to raise a man.
The dads, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Definitely so. So I know we are kind of off of the whole sports thing.
But, you know, it's important also. It's important. You know, our listeners, they need to hear that too. I'm sure they enjoy listening. Listen, guys, we got to take a break right now. We'll be back in 90. We've got Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com on the phone with Roland Hill and Dave Lockhart in the studio. We're back in 90.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian is Roland Hill, that's me, and Dave Lockhart in studio. And on the phone, we've got Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com.
Always kind enough to join us weekly. So, again, Jay, thanks for your presence here. Hey, briefly, guys. Soccer. The United States
right
is playing. That's what I was getting ready to say. You know, we're preparing for the Gold Cup, and we got the women getting ready for, what is it, the World Cup, I think, their version.
Mm-hmm.
Any interest? Be honest. I heard crickets.
You hear that? That's a no-no in radio. That's dead air.
Not at all, bro. Not at all.
You know what? And the funny thing about it is... Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be honest with yourself.
Hey, you know what? On the break, we were talking about this. The doctor supports Hamilton's blue eye theory. And that's the theory where when they're scouting baseball players, that if they've got blue eyes, that they don't want to draft them because they say that they can't see as well with blue eyes. What do you guys think?
I have seen no empirical evidence to suggest one way or the other. How about you, Jay?
You know, if there is no clinical data to substantiate that, I really wouldn't even comment on it.
Really? It's a story. ESPN's carrying it. It's a story. There's got to be something behind it.
Yeah, well, somebody wrote it. But we don't know if that's clinically sound. So, you know, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, what's the premise behind the theory? What is the empirical data? What is it that supports anything for that matter?
Maybe just experience, you know. Maybe they've, what's this, Artest wants a new name?
Yep. Did you get that one, Jay?
Oh, man, I saw that.
He's off the meds again.
Meta World Peace.
Oh, man, some of these guys, they make for good stories, don't they?
Is the man off his meds again? What do you think, Jay?
Man, I tell you, we just have to keep him on the court and playing basketball.
Just keep him occupied.
Don't give him a whole lot of time off. He's effective on the court, but I think, you know, some of these guys just go way off the deep end.
He's been hanging out up in Sedona there, huh?
No, man, you know what?
Metaphysical.
Staying out of trouble is just too much work for some people.
Yeah, that's true.
It just is, man. Most of them are my clients.
Hey, feed your family, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? A couple weeks ago, fellas, we started on a conversation about why all children should play sports.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I remember us briefly talking about that.
And we briefly talked about that, but I kind of wanted to get back into that, man, because you guys were saying how you spend so much time with your kids and getting them involved in sports, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I wrote that article was because I think it's so important for children to play sports, not just because of sports, but because of all the lessons that can be taught as a result of playing sports.
You're right. But I think it's important that they play team sports, you know?
Yeah.
I think team sports, you know, so they can learn to get along with others, you know?
I mean, because there are things that, you know, you and I as fathers can say you need to learn how to persevere, overcome, be a team player, etc. We can talk about all those things till we're blue in the face, but if the kid doesn't experience it at a young age, they'll never understand it as an adult.
Exactly.
No, you're right. It's a lot to be learned from individual sports in terms of you making the personal commitment within oneself.
Right.
But I like the idea of team sports, and even within the realm of my daughter running track on the relays.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm not always happy necessarily with the program individually, but I do like the idea of her running the relays because she learns about being accountable.
Right,
being reliable, knowing that even when I don't feel good, I have other teammates that are depending on me to show up.
Now, what are you talking about, the program?
Some days, like the practices, how they run, things like that. I mean, but that's just philosophical.
Right. Okay? Well, you know, you NC2A runner, you know what I mean? This girl 12 years old, you know what I mean?
Eight years old. Right. And because of that, I have to watch.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to run your 10 300s.
Right. I can't, you know, and that's why I stay away from training my own kid because I want to be her daddy.
For now.
Right. For now.
It's not bad to train your kid.
It's not bad.
You know, right now, you have to, the thing is, you have to understand that she's a child.
Right.
And you got to, but you also have to understand nobody else is going to teach your kid like you're going to teach your kid. Now, you can't go at him.
If you know it.
If you're going to go at him, you know, all Olympic style, you better check yourself.
Right.
But if you're just going to step to it and say, listen, you know, this is what we used to do, but maybe we won't start that right now. You just do this stuff right here, and you can build up to that, and then challenge your child up to that level.
Sure.
Then they'll want to stick with you. But if you try to throw it all on them at one time,
you
don't have a problem.
You immerse them. Hey, Jay, do you have any involvement with trying to assist your kids as well? Because, I mean, you have some experiences from doing.
Well, you know what? I I coached my son in baseball his first couple of years.
Okay.
And then football as well, from second grade to like fourth grade.
Okay.
But I stepped back away just like you did, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to give him enough foundation where he'd understand the fundamentals of what he needed to do. By the time he got to fourth grade, I said, son, you're ready to go out there and have your own space.
Okay.
And listen to someone else.
But at this,
and become big,
right,
good on your own. What I didn't want the kid to think was, I can only play or be good if my father's involved.
Yeah.
Right. But now, do you vet the coaches? You know, like, you're going to put your kid on a baseball team. You go check out the coach. Does the coach know what he's doing? Did he know what he's talking about?
Yeah.
So they don't teach your kid bad habits. I do it with my son when it comes to voice and piano. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to some degree. But one thing that I always want to do, and I always talk to parents about, sometimes it's okay for your child to be on a team and not be in the best hands all the time, or be on a team where they don't play all the time. You know, sometimes you see what parents jump out there.
I agree with that.
If their kid doesn't play,
right,
they want to jump out there and get in the way.
Now, you better earn that, buddy.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. You know, but now putting my kid on a team, or putting my kid in the hands of someone that's incompetent, I'm against that.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. Right.
Right.
But you know, sometimes, like, for instance, I remember when I was, I want to say 11.
Yeah.
I played with the Saints, John A. White Park.
Uh-huh.
Man, we were 0-9, and the only reason we were 0-10 because one game got forfeited because of rain. And we scored one touchdown the whole year, and I scored it. So
okay,
that tells you. I mean, we were getting killed every Saturday.
Was it your players or was it your coach?
It was a combination of.
Yeah.
But here's what. You still learned.
Right.
You still were learning.
Sometimes it's best to be on a losing team.
And then the next year we came back, 10 games, we went 7-3.
Okay.
But you know what? Same unit, same coach.
Exactly.
Same unit, same coach. And it's all growing. Go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead. And like you're saying, you're learning. And because you went through that bad situation, you can run back in your head as a child and then as an adult, I've been in this movie before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That is exactly how it goes. But, you know, there's a difference between thinking you're putting your kid in the hands of an incompetent, or putting your kid in the hands of someone with a different philosophy.
Those are different, right?
And I think you need to be smart enough to know that there's a different philosophy to everything, and it's not always your way when it comes to sports or anything else in life. Gentlemen, that's going to do it for the show today. We're about out of time. Thank you for joining us, Jay Graves from the jaygravesreport.com, and thank you all for listening. For Planet Gridiron Radio, I'm Roland Hill. And
this is Dave Lockhart.
And you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you all for joining us. We'll
see you
next week.
And thank you again, Jay Graves.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.